right. Welcome back to another episode of The Path Forward. Super excited today to bring you a friend and business partner, Stephen Morton. Stephen, are you with us? Do we got you?
I'm here in the flesh, I guess.
Sweet. The virtual presence.
Exactly.
Beautiful.
All right, digital self, my best digital self.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Well, so let me introduce you just a little bit and then we'll talk about your business. I think this is particularly exciting for anyone that, you know, is a business owner or knows business owners, or, you know, if you're not the owner and you work somewhere, you might be able to get a big win at work, because most every business takes credit cards and cards in some way. And Stephen's business is Vibrant Payments, which, Stephen, you want to just tell us a little bit about that industry? And technically it's called Merchant Services. Is that right?
Yeah. In fact, just the name Merchant Services, for a lot of business owners, kind of, you know, they turn around and run the other direction. So yeah. I've tended to introduce myself as, when somebody says, what do you do? And I say, well, I own an electronic payments company. So it kind of is a little bit less intrusive.
I like
and then
that.
I'll go into the details of what we do, and that in fact it is merchant services.
Yeah, well, and it's more than that though too, I would bet. You know, I mean, I think merchant services is probably kind of a traditional term and exists, but there's, you know, there's such a variety of payment options now. I mean, I know people who, like, I have a little store online and have it all set up inside of a WordPress, you know, WooCommerce site to take any cards. I mean, you know, a debit card too. So,
yeah, I mean, the idea of electronic money is so mainstream now that, you know, people walking around with cash, it's almost like, you know, writing a check at some point. Like, well, what are you doing with cash? You know, there's even businesses that, a lot of businesses actually in bigger markets that they don't take cash anymore. It's too much of a liability. They can't house that kind of money, and it's smarter for them to just process electronic payments. And then for audit reasons, you know, the IRS obviously would love to have every business just use electronic money so that cash is out of the picture and they can take more of a bite out
of
the profit.
You can do your accounting. Yeah. And business owners are getting bites taken out of them. And I think kind of the big thing and the big opportunity, you know, with you and your company that always interests people is almost every business is getting a bite taken out of them for taking cards, you know, even debit bank cards, which we'll kind of get into, is always kind of the shocking category for me. They're treated oftentimes, when it's not necessary, like a credit card, right? But everyone's paying this. Usually it seems to me most businesses are like 2%, but oftentimes 2.5% to 3% of every transaction. Is that pretty typical?
Yeah, and it's just over. I mean, when I first got into the industry back in, 2009, I think it was, the interchange or the cost of these cards was so much lower. It wasn't as complicated as it is today. It seems like every you know, every day there's a new card coming out with new rewards, new Sky Miles, new, hey, you run this card and we're going to send free food vouchers to your in-laws or something, some fancy thing. And so the rates have gone, just, you know, back when I was started, there was, I don't know, maybe 150 different interchange rates, where now there's thousands. Wow. So it just keeps getting more and more and more complicated, and the costs keep going up and up and up. And business owners, frankly, they don't know what to do, because most people, gosh, I'd say probably 99 out of 100 businesses that I talk to have no idea how their merchant services works. They look at their statement and they can't decode it. It's Hebrew, it's Greek, it's something they're at the mercy of whoever it is that they're processing with. And they've been drugged through the mud so many times that they're like, you know what? I don't want to change anymore. If I change again, it's just going to ruin me or something. But it's a confusing industry.
Yeah. And they don't, I think they just, you know, it's a variable cost that follows no matter how much revenue you make. But almost everyone kind of considers it, well, this is just the cost of doing business, as if it were like a fixed cost. Like, whatever, I got to pay these guys. If it just works, that's a cost of doing business. And oh, it's 3%, or it's 2.99 or 2.75%. And it's hard to look at and to realize, I think, how much that adds up, especially, you know, like every month, but every year.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, it's like insurance. It's one of those things that you have to have, but you don't want to have to spend a lot of money for. And, you know, you mentioned earlier, it costs money. You know, you heard the saying, it takes money to make money. Well, it costs money to take money. So, yeah, it's the cost of the business. And it's unfortunate because when you get to the end of the year and you get that, you know, 1099K or whatever it is coming from the processor that says, wow, you spent $130,000 in credit card fees this year. And they look at that and think, oh my goodness, how on earth can I reduce that number and put the money back into my company as opposed to just giving it away to these big processors that are, you know, I call it veracity money. It's greed money. And if we're being honest, and because it's an industry that's so unregulated, there's so many things that representatives can do that you hide dollars. Going to the mechanic and he gives you the final bill at the end of the day and doesn't really show you what you were charged for, and you have no way of deciphering what's legit and what's not. It's frustrating.
Yeah. Well, and no joke, I think that's like the most valuable thing to get out of this for someone and to get to talk to you about. That's more than like, okay, they're talking about this business and I can save some money. But what really gets interesting to me is your choice. Having worked in this industry, you worked in Idaho with a guy that was kind of a part of the whole PayPal origins, I believe, right? And, learned this industry. And then I remember you telling me that you made a decision in building Vibrant Payments and really live by this to like end some of that horrible greed and create real transparency, like made it a choice around something more important than just business.
Yeah, it was so frustrating because as I started learning the industry and learning where a lot of the money was made, you know, just as one example, I would walk into I remember walking into this little quilting shop, this wonderful little lady, she was probably in her 60s, and I was looking at her machine on her counter and I was asking her who she was with and if she would consider switching, and she said she just signed a contract and signed for this new little machine, and it was $50 or $60 a month. And I didn't have the heart to tell her that the machine that she'd signed for $50 or $60 a month for 4 years, this lease, the machine was a $150 machine. It was old. It was outdated, but you have representatives that are going around. That's how they make money. That was just one example. Mm-hmm. And it was setup fees. It was annual fees, things that just, in my opinion, it's the veracity money thing. And I thought, you know what? If I can start my own company and eliminate all that, eliminate the termination fees if somebody wants to sign up so they're not locked into a contract, eliminate the setup fees, give them the best possible pricing that I can give, and we can get more into that too, then I can eliminate a lot of those hurdles that these businesses are running into when they want to make a switch. And I want to make it a win-win so that, hey, Bob, if you want to work with me, I want you to stay with me because you like me, not because you signed something that locks you in for the next 3 years at atrocious rates.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think that's so cool. I mean, it's you're earning people's business and trust continuously. Oh, go ahead if you had a point, but I do want to jump in on the pricing.
No, you're right. I mean, we've got great retention. The only time we typically ever lose an account is if they sell the company, and so the person buying has somebody they're using, or they don't know us, and you know, we didn't get a chance to meet them, or the company goes out of business. I mean, you can't have perfect retention, but I would be hard pressed to think of even one account that I've lost because they said, Steve, we don't like you.
Yeah. Well, and the rates are so phenomenal. I mean, I just want to get to that before we get too far along so people can understand, and we'll have some of that on the website. But, you know, the reason I wanted to have you on and why I get passionate talking about this, even though, you know, it may not be people think the sexiest topic, but I really love entrepreneurism. I love business owners. I love going and talking to business owners, people who are friends and family and in my community. And, you know, I see them paying with Stripe or Square or whatever, and no, they're at 2.99% with fees. They're at 3% or 3% of every single thing they're making every month. And I tell them your rates are like 1.5% and lower. I mean, depending, and they're like, what? You know, like, and then they're like, okay, but you're going to lock me in for 2 years at least. And I'm like, no, Steven has no termination fees, does not lock you in, does not hide fees. Like we've been through a few businesses. We'll talk about some examples where you're pointing out to them, hey, here's your bill. I can do, a bit better on your rate. Like maybe I'm not blowing you out of the water, but I'm saving you money. But look at these fees that you're paying every month. Those are going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
So now suddenly the difference is really significant.
It adds up. You know, the hardest part, I think, when we talk to a business is just, first off, just getting them to sit down and just listen to what we have to say, because they've been just inundated with sales calls and guys coming in just trying to sell. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of getting through the door initially. And I'm a pretty low key business guy. I tend to, I think I've always had a fear of being looked at as a sales guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I tend to think of myself as a consultant, but it's understanding first off how the pricing works for the business owner. And second, it's kind of giving them an example of, okay, when somebody comes in and tells you that here's the rate that you're going to pay, that can mean multiple things. So if somebody says, well, I'm going to charge you 1.5, well, what does that actually mean? And we can get into that if you want. It's a lot more complicated than exactly what the rep just said.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's like going into Starbucks and if somebody said, well, okay, well, you want to buy a coffee, all of the coffees on the menu are $5. I think, okay, well, so if I order just a straight drip black coffee, that's $5 versus the venti caramel macchiato with Cool Whip or whatever. That's $5 too.
Yeah.
Okay, well, that's fine if you're only buying coffee every once in a while. But if you're going there every day or multiple times a day, that's going to get really expensive.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a great example. We'll go into some other examples, but that's a really, not to cut you off, but a really good place to start. And I love that example because we were talking earlier, people might be like, this interchange thing you said, that's this wholesale rate, but I love to see, and anybody who's actually interested, you have some great charts on the site at vibrantpayments.com under pricing. We can share some of this info and connect folks so they have some visuals. I'm a very visual person, but if you can imagine these various rates, and a debit card is like drip coffee or even less. I mean, mm-hmm. literally they're supposed to be basically just above free.
Yeah.
And then you have your expensive, your Amex or your rewards travel card on the complete other side. But, a lot of these services are Square, Stripe, the thing that you put on your phone, whoever, they're at 2.99% for everything. So they're charging, just like you said, it's like $5 for every single kind of coffee, no matter what, all day long.
Yeah, and the reason they have that model is they know that most of the people that are using, Square, that are putting a little reader into their phone, the demographic of businesses that are using that tend to be the ones that are using debit cards and using lower end cards. Whereas if you go to say here's an example. I had a big RV retailer that was selling RVs. Well, when we first met with them, the people that are giving an RV company a card, if they're going to be putting a $5,000 payment down on a new RV, they're not pulling out their debit card. They're giving you they're getting their dang points.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why. So industries change. So the people that are typically using the Squares and stuff of the world tend to be on the lower end of the spectrum. If we look at a graph, tend to be on the lower end of the spectrum with regard to the cost of the cards. So companies will charge a flat rate, a true flat rate of say 2.6, 2.7, 2.9. Because I know that most of the cards that they're going to be absorbing the cost for are going to be a fraction of if the cost of the card is 0.0005% and they're charging 2.9, that's a big chunk of margin that is just getting eaten up.
It sure is, man. That is, yep. Yeah. And it's just, off the backs of people who build products, sell products, sell services. And I think, I keep thinking about Vibrant Payments that I know from, like, you also handle a lot of business to business customers and transactions, or can, and that a lot of those folks, or when a business gets really big or a big retailer, that we know, they go in and they're getting savvy and negotiating around this interchange and changing those rates, or they might have tiered pricing. And it always seems to me like what you're offering is like the services and the intelligence and the sophisticated approach that the big guys get to all businesses.
Yeah, because most guys would come in and just lead with price, which that's a big, that's a big stickler for a lot of businesses. But, we tend to say, all right, well, yes, there is price, but there's also, if your machine goes down, who are you calling? Is somebody going to physically show up and fix this for you? Or are you going to be able to get somebody on the phone? Or is it going to be, Bob from Bangladesh that you're trying to understand? And then, the technology side, do you have options in today's market to be able to process how you want to process? Do you have ways to do it mobily that also integrates with your desktop, that also integrates with the terminal on your counter? Do you have easy access to statements and PCI compliance stuff? PCI compliance is another portion of it. So there's kind of multiple legs to the stool as opposed to just pricing. But pricing, unfortunately, is something that most people kind of gravitate to get started.
Let's talk about, I had said to you maybe to have a couple examples, and just to help, people or anyone that's listening to really wrap their head around how this might work for them, their business, or someone they know, or even at work, going to where you take cards and going to get a win with your management or someone. Let's talk to them a little bit about like how that goes with a business, and maybe an example of one where, hey, price really impacts them, but you go in through your level of service and have kind of helped them, avoid fees or some of these other legs of the stool. Could you tell us a story?
Yeah, you bet. In fact, one of my very first accounts is a jewelry store out of in California, and I remember talking to the owner. His name's Larry, and we got a copy of his statements, and we looked at his rates and thought, man, the bank that had set him up with his pricing, well, they used the same processor that we were using. So, not to get too down a rabbit hole, but a lot of companies will connect to the same spot. So if you're Costco, for example, you'll connect to Elavon, which is the processor. If you're KeyBank, Elavon, US Bank, Elavon, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a lot of retailers that all go to the same place. Well, we were using the same process that this guy was. So I said, well, Larry, let's take a look at your pricing. We don't need to change your machine or anything. We can just get you set up with a new account and lower your cost. Well, in this case, we decided, you know what, we're going to go for the grand slam. We're going to pull this guy's cost all the way down to zero. We're not going to mark it up at all. No markup. Every dollar that runs through there, everything is cost. The only place that we're going to make money is a service fee. So we charge him $39 a month, and that was it. It pulled his cost. I think we saved him like $25,000 a year starting, and he's still a client today. He's been a client for years. Because he'll send me a Christmas card every year and thanks, Steve, you're awesome.
I mean,
But
can you imagine for a
I'm just
business
thinking,
like that?
how many cars did I buy that guy over the years?
Yeah,
Hey, new
exactly.
car here. Just, and it's money that he was already spending, but now it can stay in his business. And so
That's
rather
it.
than getting greedy and screwing over 100 businesses, I'd rather be not greedy and help 1,000 businesses because they succeed, we succeed. I love retention. I don't like to go chase down businesses every day. I'd rather have the ones that I have and open a few accounts as the days and weeks go by, but not rush anything because I can sleep at night. I want to sleep at night.
Yeah, exactly,
So,
man.
and
And
I'll
it's
give you
like,
another one. I'll give you another
yeah,
example.
please.
We had a big RV retailer that here locally where I live, they were bought by another company out of Florida now. In fact, that was one of the reasons that we would lose an account is this big national franchise. They've got like 150 stores. So they bought this location, but we saved these guys, like, I don't know, $40,000 a year. What's unfortunate is a lot of these big companies, they might have accountants and stuff that they have a little bit of a vested interest because that's what they do for the company, but they're not as focused on the business as, say, a business owner would. If the accountant says, well, maybe I'll save the company a little bit of money, but I'm still going to go home at the end of the day at 5 o'clock and have dinner and figure out how to get my kids through school. Whereas the business owner is looking at those dollars saying, wow, had I known that we could have saved these kinds of dollars, I probably would have paid attention more, or I would be willing to sit down with somebody if it meant putting $20,000 back into my company's pocket every year. It kind of changes the conversation a little bit. So we did this for these guys and saved them tens of thousands of dollars, and they were in an account for years. They were one of our accounts for years.
Yeah. So, and I mean, this is not some smalchy, you know, BS either. I mean, I don't, you know, I really want people to, like, if you're listening, to understand, like, this is real funds for real business owners. Running a business is tough stuff. If you do it or you've tried to do it, it is not for the meek. I mean, there's a reason why, you know, and every business, especially right now. I mean, I feel like that's part of what's going on. We're, you know, right now talking about possible recession and a lot of people are feeling the economy, and certainly almost all businesses. I mean, doesn't matter how big a business is where you work, you know, this is real dollars back into a business. And I think that, you know, most business owners, most corporations, even, they're going to take that and reinvest it into their business. They have areas that are, you know, hungry to receive funds that can make a big difference.
Yeah, I agree. You know, the reason that I initially, when I got into the industry, coming from the insurance world, there was a lot of regulation on one side and then no regulation on the other side. And unfortunately, I think a lot of these businesses that are just, you know, losing their shirt with fees is because of the way that representatives in the industry are conditioned to sell and how they're incentivized. So, for example, if I'm a representative, which I won't name any companies, but XYZ, you know, merchant services,
sure.
And that merchant services company says, well, hey, I need you to get X number of accounts per month, which with X amount of margin built in to hit your quota. Well, that rep has no incentive other than I have to get as much margin written into this account as I possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
And then 3 months later, if they don't hit their numbers or they realize how hard it is to break down these doors and these barriers, they're gone. And then the company that they sell these accounts, of course, says, ooh, thank you. Now we have all this margin with all these new accounts, and we just keep pushing our sales reps, and we bonus them if they get X number of margin in a certain time frame. And it's shady in that aspect because you're encouraging people to do the wrong thing to make money.
Yeah.
And so
when
I started out, not to get down too far into a rabbit hole, realized that if I'm going to do this, I got to do it right. I have to, you know, we're going to starve for a long time. And we did. I wrote a book about it, you know. You know, we struggled for a long time, but it was
We should talk about your book too. Yeah.
Ice cream is for winners. We struggled for a long time, but I had to do it right. I wanted to set these businesses up right, and they've been clients of ours for years. And that's because that's how we started. You know, we didn't come back and fatten our pocketbooks and then try to figure out where to, you know, shave off margin. We just started out the right way.
Yeah. And then clients, like you said, they don't leave. It's like you kind of end this conversation too. I think that's real exciting. I've seen, you know, you do this or have this conversation where a business owner is like, you said, they're getting, you know, contacted continuously, and they're jaded about merchant services or the payment processing. And it's just like, they just keep paying it. And then once they realize, oh my God, I have somebody who is really interested in my business growing, putting money back in my pocket, like seeing businesses thrive and grow, and you're going to work with them to keep those rates down, that they're not going anywhere. Why would they go with anybody else who's going to make them pay more?
Right. And, you know, and if somebody did come in and say, you know what, you know, of the tiny margins that you know, Steven's making with his company, I'm going to make an even tinier margin. You know, then it comes to the question of, okay, well, can I get a hold of these guys when I need something? Mm-hmm. You know, when I email them because I have a question on my statement, can I get somebody? And that's where that other, you know, one of those other legs of the stools come in. You know, the PCI compliance, you know, we handle that for them. We help them go through those surveys and help them get compliant with the scans and stuff, things that most reps don't care about because once they sign an account, they're done. And I think in our market where I live, I'm in, you know, Eastern Washington, really more Northern Idaho is how I think of it. There's still a lot of businesses that just do, you know, handshake in your word. You know, there's still a lot of businesses that haven't been inundated with a ton of people. And so it's a good market to walk in and shake hands and promise them what you promised them and actually deliver it. And so that's why they stay with us. They're comfortable.
Yeah, well,
Hope that
I
makes
want
sense.
people who are listening all across the nation to be able to get that kind of quality of business done on a handshake and your word, and it really actually means something. It's very cool, man.
Yeah, and that's one of the benefits just coming from insurance. We had to be licensed in all these different states. With merchant services, we can do business anywhere, and in the country. It's really just a question of is our setup going to help you, and is it going to be worth it? Well, if you're doing $10,000 a year in volume, that's not a lot of money in today's world. So if we save you $13 a month, it's probably not going to be worth your time, but if you're doing gosh, I met with a business the other day. They're we just set them up as a farm and feed store. They were doing about 1.2 million a year, and we saved them, oh gosh, we saved them a ton of money. I'll have to look at the numbers again. Something like $17,000 a year in merchant
Wow.
services.
Yeah. It's a real thing that literally is just, they don't have to go do anything else for it, you know? Like you're not having to go push and like market. Think how hard a business like that or businesses work to get more sales. And instead it takes some time, and I think that's the other cool thing I've seen you do too firsthand is, people I've introduced you to is, hey, let's look at your existing statements. Can I help you or not? You seem just so transparent about that. Let's just look and look at the numbers in black and white, and here's what I can do for you or can't. And it's a half an hour conversation once the information's in front of everybody.
Yeah, you're right. And that's just one of the areas. I mean, but like you just alluded to, businesses, if they want to increase profits, it's okay, I can go increase my sales, or I can cut costs. I can plug the bathtub drain a little more and try to keep water from leaking, or I can turn the faucet on higher. Well, everybody's always trying to turn the faucet on, but man, if we can plug the drain a little bit and let you keep more water in the bathtub, then great. I'm all for it.
Yeah,
And like I
yeah.
said, my mission was never to go out and I don't need a Gulfstream 6. Well, that would be nice, but I don't need a three houses. So it wasn't my ever has it been my intent to go out and just grow a massive company where all I'm doing is pushing for sales. I'd rather make the money that we make and do the things that I really want to do. Because if somebody asked me, how passionate are you about payment processing? Well, like you said, it's not the sexiest topic in the world. It allows us to do what we want to do, and
Yeah, totally.
I meet a lot of great companies, but if it gives me the freedom to, if I help them and they help me, and I can go do some other fun stuff like acting or
Exactly, filmmaking. Yeah, let's talk about that, 'cause that's where we actually met each other. So everyone knows Steven and
that's
I actually
right.
met on set at a commercial
Ka-ching.
in Boise. Yeah, that's for oh, it's for like Idaho State Health. So people in Idaho know us for the cha-ching commercial, which maybe I'll have to put up on the site next to this.
Well, you just have this iconic voice too. I mean, your voice is the, I think I should have you narrate my next audiobook.
There you go. Exactly. Yeah. Well, let's talk about the book. How did you so you mentioned the title really briefly, but tell us what the title is and how that came up and just a little bit about it. And it's on Amazon, right?
Yeah, it's on Amazon's Audible. So it's Ice Cream is for Winners, and the subtitle's From Food Stamps and Bankruptcy to Financial Independence. And that's exactly where we came from. And I got to the point, I was going through this process. I won't drag you through too much of it, but
Well, we'll read the book. We got to listen or read.
exactly.
But
But
set it up so people might come check out the book and learn more about you. There's more going on here for sure.
yeah, well, the guy that I was working for that I'd got into the payments industry with, which I will not mention his name, although we do have a good attorney, so maybe I should know. I'm kidding. He took our book of business after we moved. So I got a letter. I think it was, gosh, December 2nd or December 23rd, right before Christmas, that said, "Hey, sorry, your entire book of business is gone. You just lost all your income."
Wow.
Oh my gosh, the only way I'm going to get through this therapy-wise is to write about it. I have to put these thoughts on paper. And as the months went by and we struggled to figure out, got on food stamps. I'd never been on food stamps before. I thought, where is my life going? Got two kids. I can't give them Christmas presents. My wife's at Toys for Tots. I've got one car, a mountain of debt on credit cards because trying to get the business going. And I've got 90 days of money left in the bank account, and then we're on the street, you know, what do we do? And it was just writing about it and then realizing as we built our company and moved forward that, wow, look how far we've come. You know, you look 2, 3, 4 years back and realize, man, I'm a different person now than I was then. And now I wanted people to understand the process of you can go from being just unbelievably broken of nothing. And I didn't want to write it all after the fact. I didn't want to say, well, yeah, years ago we did this. I wanted to write it as it was happening.
Mm-hmm.
So half the book is, you know, April 14th, the car was repossessed today. God, this sucks. My son was upset because one of his Marvel mashers was in a back seat. And now he doesn't have his toy anymore. Just real life stuff as it was happening.
Yeah, that is real life stuff.
But we incorporated, you know, the stuff with Vibrant Payments, with acting, with some Medicare stuff that was in there, another portion of residual income that we have. And so I kind of mashed it all together and then got to the point where we were able to, you know, financially independent by helping these clients. And we just keep setting for the future. So,
yeah, I love it, man. Ice cream is for winners. Well, I think it's a powerful path for people, you know, that might be interested in the service, but just to take this to, you know, another level or open another door is the whole world of residual income, what you've tapped into. And I think that's, you know, is it fair to say that if people are that caught their ear and they're interested in that for themselves or someone that they know in their life, that picking up your book is a way to read a real life account of how to build some businesses with residual income?
I think so. I mean, we caught the bug, if you will, back in the days of, you know, when I thought I was going to make it big in Amway, and I was, oh man, I was gung ho. I was that guy in the store that you avoided when you saw me because I was going to try to get you in. And we just went for broke for about 3 years. And I realized, okay, it got to a point where this wasn't working. Something that we were doing wasn't working. But that seed was planted of being able to earn income while you were sleeping and have, you know, the weeks and weeks go by and all your bills are paid and you're not having to work. So we just focused on, I knew I could do something in insurance. I knew I could do it with merchant services, but I knew it was going to take a long time to do it. So the idea that you can just be financially free in 3 months is, it's not going to happen. It's going to take time and you have to put, you know, one foot before I don't know. It's like people, you know, they're climbing Mount Everest and they see the top at the bottom, but then they start climbing the mountain. They forget what they're doing it and they lose track of their journey and then they quit. And it's hard because if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yep.
But it was, you know, the first time I made all my bills were paid because of residual income. I thought, this is the greatest thing in the world. Now I can actually go do what I want to do. That doesn't mean we have 100% of our day free. You know, I take client calls on occasion. I got one call when I was at Disneyland. Yep. I had a big power sports company call me. I have the phone. I knew who it was. I'm like, hey, how you doing, guy? I'm about to get on the Matterhorn here. What's up? And that's okay because it doesn't mean that, you know,
that's
you have
okay.
to be,
that's great.
You don't have to be so miserable at your job that you need to take a 2-week vacation where you disconnect from the rest of the world. It's like, I can integrate the two. I don't hate what I do for a living and I love vacation, but why can't I do both? It's this Ty Lopez edge effect thing. It's like where the water meets the edge of the land. It's like, well, that's where life happens. The deer come down to drink the water. The fish come up to the shore to eat the food. The frogs, the tadpoles, the grass. It's like, that's the edge effect. That's where everything happens.
Yeah.
When you integrate those two worlds, why have one totally separate than the other? I never wanted to have a job where I was, you know, oh God, I have to escape from my job, my 9-to-5. And when I come back, all I'm doing is looking forward to the next year, my next 2-week vacation in Bali. You know?
Yes. Yes, so. Man. And that is, I think that is a lot of people are feeling that, you know, out of the pandemic. There's a lot that's shifting and there's so much we see online around that, you know, but I just feel like your story is very grounded. It's very real and it's really offering something of real value.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate that.
And that's my mission. with the path forward is to offer, you know, real value and, you know, real solutions for people overall with this show. So that's, I think, just we kind of scratched the surface and introduced all this, but I feel like that, you know, we know there's so much more together for us to talk about. And I mean,
we could go for hours.
Yeah. You're going to come back around. We're going to keep digging in. Cause we'll just tease it a little bit, but you've been taking some of everything you're doing and participating actively in the film production community that's over in Eastern Washington, Spokane area, right?
Yeah. I mean, and that was one of the, you know, the whole idea, I don't want this to be a big rah-rah coaching session from Steve, but the idea that I wanted to do the things that I wanted to do, and one of them was I wanted to be a full-time actor. And I thought, okay, well, I can move to LA or Atlanta or one of those big markets. Well, no, I can't. I can't leave my family. Well, can I convince my family to move there? Well, no, they're in school. Their roots are planted. Well, how do I do this? How do I give myself the opportunity to be an actor, but not have to, you know, work in a 9-to-5 job? I thought, well, if I can create this residual income base and have my own company, then I can. So I can take time off when I want to, when I don't have to ask permission. So that if I do get that role, I can fly to Atlanta on a moment's notice. I can go to LA. And of course, you know, getting into the acting world is a tough in and of itself, even if you are in that market full time. So I've just been finding ways to produce our own things here. And the last film that I did with a friend of mine was called Recollection. That'll be out in the spring of 2023.
Okay, good. Yeah, I want to get some titles. I want people to know to like look stuff up and read your book, like see you know, in the film. So Recollection, I think I've seen some
Recollection,
of that.
Yeah. We had a good lineup too. We had Rosalind Luke out of LA. She was a lead actress. We had Cesar Garcia from Breaking Bad, Better Call Saul, real nice guy.
Oh. So cool.
Let's see who else. It was fun. We had Eric Roberts, Julia Roberts' brother,
cool.
A few other people. Myself, I was one of the leads, and it was fun. It was all shot really kind of in the area that we live. You know, the Northern Idaho, Spokane, Coeur d'Alene area. Mm-hmm. I just met with a guy a couple weeks ago. They're trying to get some permits for some sound stages out here, which would be a game changer for the Northwest.
Yes.
They get some. Big sound stages, man. You know, the cost of producing a movie or here is a fraction of what it is in you know, Hollywood. So Recollection, I've got another one, Waking Lazarus, I think that'll finally be done next year. I know it's still post-production with the music and stuff.
Good.
So that one. And then if this God Complex and thing that we produce goes, Sundance has it right now. So hopefully they'll highlight it for 2023. And if that goes, that could very, very easily become a big HBO series or, you know, one of the big networks. And so that's what we're banking on. So then I would have to write another book about why I left the payments industry to go to Hollywood.
Nah, we're just going to build teams, man. We're going to build teams. That's what's next,
right?
Is build the team and keep building the dreams. And that's real stuff, man. This is, yeah, not some fantasy. So I love it. Well, we're going to keep talking about all that and, you know, come back when some of these titles are out there and some people can find some of this stuff on the internet, and we'll put some links up. But yeah, we're going to keep sharing the content with them.
You bet. And you know, as far as people, if they want to download that book, I mean, I've got a handful of promo codes that Amazon gave me. I just want to get the word out. I'm not really interested
cool.
in, hey, I got to make a ton of money off this thing. I just want people to hear it. I just want people to know, hey, this, you can really change your life here. And I'm not just writing about this after the fact. I'm walking you through it I get pretty crude. It's definitely not kid rated.
Yeah.
You know, I'm talking about fights with my wife and, you know, being poor and telling my wife, okay, we can't buy raspberries or strawberries at the store today because we can't afford it for the kids, even though they want them and presents. And just, I don't know. It's raw. It's really raw and uncensored, but I want people to hear it.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think to me, that's the kind of content that I'm more engaging. Because like you said, there is this, you know, you don't want this to be a rah-rah coaching session. And I don't think that's the kind of people we are and the audience that we're interested in connecting with. People are like, hey, what's something real, you know, and tangible? Mm-hmm. I mean, tell me a real story. Tell me about real impact. You know, show me a business that can really actually save my business or someone in my life or the place that I work real money. Mm-hmm. And that's well worth time. That's worth the time of listening to us and to the show and to picking up the book. So well, maybe what we could do is put a little something up on the website and some folks that send some messages in from the Path Forward or wherever they find the podcast. We're going to put some of this stuff up on LinkedIn. If they find us, maybe we can send them a promo code. How's that sound?
Yeah, I like it, brother. That sounds good.
The first few people. Great, man. Well, I'm stoked to continue all this. We'll put up a link to vibrantpayments.com. You've got the information there and just really want to continue sharing this opportunity with folks and see what we can cause happen. You know, I want to see some folks that save some money on their business and then have really cool stories to come on and share with us on here.
Yeah, no, I like it. I mean, that's where it happens. We get, you know, the more examples, the more people that start seeing that, wow, you know, you just saved my company on so much money that I was able to hire somebody else for the money that you put back in our pocket.
Yep.
You know, things like that. Absolutely, man.
That is real, man. And those are the things that change businesses, or they got to do a certain promotion or some marketing and finally everything flipped for them, you know? So we'll get some other business owners and some folks on here. And we will do this again, man. But it's been great having you, and I super appreciate your time and coming on and kicking this off.
Yeah, thanks, brother. I appreciate you having me on.
You bet, man. We're gonna fade up to that music and fade out until the next time. So thank you all for listening.